discussion. So I'm going to talk really quickly. If you look at this carefully, this says no financial relationships because I don't have the slide. I forgot to put it in, but I have none. If you're familiar with the Reduced Shakespeare Company, he does the whole Shakespeare in 90 minutes. I'm going to do my 15-minute presentation in five, I hope. So Gloria's talked about a lot of the things that I want to talk about, and the other presenters also. I'm going to give an international perspective on looking at child disability. I have a couple of people I'm going to acknowledge at the end, but let me just get started. What is the purpose of collecting disability data on children? We want to do a number of things. We want to be able to perhaps monitor the health of the population, look at service provision and resource allocation, unmet need versus need, services for children are less well-developed than for adults, and we find that 16, 17-year-olds are least well-served. Another thing we might want to look at is equalization of opportunities, schooling and employment for youths. There's extra significance attached to the collection of disability data on children, health advantages, especially in terms of early intervention, economic advantages, getting children to school and eventually to the workforce, improving social cohesion, removing negative attitudes primarily through social exclusion and discrimination early so that it doesn't affect a child later in life, and quality of life improvements. When children know that their problems are recognized, it's improving their quality of life. A lot of what we think about is based on international conventions. There's the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disability that has a special Article Number 7 on children with disability and Article 31 on statistics and data collection. Basically, children with disabilities have every right available to any other child in terms of participation in society, and we need good data in order to monitor the inclusion of children in society. There are difficulties, though, in estimating the number of disabled children in the world. And again, the UN General Assembly special session on children in 2001 highlighted some of those difficulties. They refer to the fact that countries use different definitions of both impairment and disability that causes difficulty in comparisons. There's quality of statistics vary across countries, and there's too little research that's done on the lives and the life situation of disabled children. But can then children with disabilities, disabled children, be counted? We find cross-culturally prevalence rates that range from 5 to 18%, depending on the definition of the measure used. There are different sub-classifications that limit comparisons between surveys. There's been no real survey that we know of that's designed to cover the whole population of disabled children. There always seems to be some subpopulation that's left out, excluded, or missed. Data sources are limited by age, geography, the size of the subgroup, and the place of residence. Very few data sources collect data on social and demographic circumstances around disabled children, and few take into account how age and development of children may shape functioning and ability. The challenges are, they may seem insurmountable, but they're not. There are geographic and administrative issues that have to be dealt with, conceptual issues. What does disability mean for a child? And we've touched a little bit about that today. Operational issues. How does one operationalize the concept of disability? Logistical issues. How does one obtain data about children? And, of course, ethical issues that we haven't even touched on yet. Who's responsible for the national policies on disabled children? Not just one government or one ministry, but several. Ministry of Health, Ministry of Education, Ministry of Social Affairs. It's a broad-ranging, multi-dimensional conglomeration that has to come together and agree on a way forward to look at measuring disability. So, defining disability for children, let's look at applicability. Certain questions addressed to adults may be inappropriate or different in kind for children. For example, falling over, reaching and stretching, behavioral problems. Questions addressed to children are sometimes inappropriate for adults. Crawling, running, communicating. There are variations by culture, which we've already mentioned. And when should developmental delay be regarded as disability, something that Gloria mentioned before. Developmental delay is what is normal for a child's age and sex. I don't really have to go into this. Gloria mentioned it, but we have to consider how a child develops and what may be correct for that child at that particular stage. Not all delay is developmental delay. Measuring capacity and or performance. In some activity domains, seeing and hearing, walking or climbing, parental responses should be valid and reliable. However, questions related to child's behavior, particularly for older children, may be less reliable. Parents may not know about their children's activities and behavior at school, where a lot of where children spend a lot of time. Question about whether or not it's with or without equipment or assistance, and does one look at what a child can do, what a child actually does, what a child wants to do, or is even allowed to do. Those are all issues that have to be addressed. The influence of family is very important. What the child can do, is allowed to do, or actually does is dependent on the child's family, particularly their emotional, psychological development. Attitudes of parents towards diet, exercise, learning, etc. are all relevant. Functioning of the child cannot be seen in isolation, but in the context of the family system, so that the consequence of this interaction and the interdependence is that a survey about disabled children requires as much information on the family as it does on the child. There are the influences of the educational environment. School, as well as families, have some role in social participation and social integration. School is a big influence on child's development. Who do you ask? What teachers do you ask? And how do you go about doing that? Influence of health, social, and welfare environment. Apart from family and school, the need for the provision and the use of health, social, and welfare services are key. Who can help the child and in what capacity and at what time? One can argue that disability can be measured by contact with services, but that's dangerous because services miss out on unmet need and may reflect severity and the availability of local services. Ethical issues, I mentioned them briefly, participation of children, what they're capable of, confidentiality and privacy are issues that have to be taken into consideration, and for severely disabled children, the appropriateness of the questions and taking into consideration the distress to the parents who will be answering the questions. McConaughey et al. In 2006 covered life situations that might impact children. Participation essential for survival, eating, sleeping, basic hygiene and sleeping. Participation in relation to child development, social interaction, play and exploration, mobility, discretionary participation, what a child wants to do given available resources, and educational participation. Those are all domains of participation that can be covered in a set of questions that deal with child disability. Here's some examples of surveys. I have questions at the back that I'm not going to go into, but the Child and Adolescent Survey of Participation, the Life Age Assessment of Life Habits, and Activities Scales for Kids are all surveys that have been developed looking at participation of children in society. Now I want to talk just briefly about the Washington Group on Disability Statistics and the Measurement of Child Disability. The Washington Group developed questions for adult disability that cover children but weren't specifically designed for children. So now we want to investigate the participation of children specifically children with disabilities compared to children without disabilities, taking into account the definition set out by the UN Convention, which is long-term physical, mental, intellectual, or sensory impairments, which in interaction with various barriers may hinder their full and effective participation in society on an equal basis with others. The framework, the conceptual framework we want to use in putting forward our questions is the ICFCY. It's the same basic structure that the Washington Group used as a framework for developing its questions for adults. When operationalize a biosocial model to produce a parsimonious set of questions that will be current, relevant, and sustainable. If you're not, I'm sure you're familiar with it, that's the International Classification of Functioning, Disability, and Health. What we want to focus on are the activity limitations in the center, identifying a group of children who are at risk of not being able to participate in society, taking into account environmental factors that act as barriers to participation. The principles that we base our work on, or that we are going to base our work on, is that the distribution of types of disability are different for children compared to adults. In adults, the major problems are mobility, seeing, and hearing, personal care as well, especially with advancing age, while in children, the main disabilities or limitations are related to intellectual functioning, affect, and behavior. Children are constantly developing and in transition from infancy to childhood, from childhood to adolescence, and from adolescence into adulthood. For this reason, the choice of domains that we want to look at has to be relevant to the age of the child and could change from one stage of life to another. These are the selected domains that we've decided we hope to focus on in developing our first set of questions: seeing, hearing, communication, mobility, learning, developing relationships, and playing. I just want to point out that we don't intend to reinvent the wheel. We want to use what's already being produced, what's already being fielded, what's already being tested in order to produce a better set of questions that can be used not just by one country, but by many, many countries, and to produce comparable results. In conclusion, national surveys on child disability can be carried out successfully, as we've seen. The problems and challenges have been recognized. We know what the problems and challenges are. Solutions are known as well, but there's a lack of consensus. There's a need for a synthesis of all the work done so far to arrive at a feasible strategy. And it seems to us, or we would like to believe, that the ICFCY provides an overarching topology that can be used to bring it all together in a meaningful way. And I would like to thank Howard Meltzer, Professor of Mental Health and Disability at University of Leicester in the UK, and the Work Group on Child Disability at the Washington Group. Thank you. Mm-hmm.